For John truly baptized with what? Water. But you shall be baptized with who? The Holy Ghost. Come on. Not many days hence. Now, the Holy Ghost is not an it. The Holy Ghost is a he, not a she. The Holy Ghost is a he. If you and I get the Holy Ghost and get him in us right, folks can't do nothing with you. I mean, it's almost like they want to get you out of that house because you talking about Jesus too much. In Joel chapter 2, this is a prophetic word that was given by the prophetic speech of Joel, and he was prophesying about the coming of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we need to learn today is we need to learn how to work with God, and more specifically, how to work with the Holy Spirit to bring God's will to pass or to expand His kingdom, benefiting not only ourselves, but multitudes of people who perhaps this day even still need to hear the gospel. There's about 4.5 billion souls, I was told, that have not heard the gospel. Now, we can't leave here with that kind of statistic rolling out there. So let's talk about this. As you see on Sundays, we're talking about the kingdom of God and the idea of it's time for miracles. But let's start here because this runs hand in hand with it. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. Let's go here and I'll start reading at verse 25. This is an utterance given by the prophet Joel. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and so forth. Now, when we read that, one of the things we said about restoring is that we have our theme this year of pursue, overtake, and recover all that I shared with you. One is going to be the year of unprecedented miracles. And secondly, it's going to be a year of restoration. It's going to be a year that we are receiving or recovering those things that were lost. And I said, just don't look at your own life and the lifespan that you've lived so far and say, I'm going to recover that. But what I ask you to do is go in there in the book of Joshua, and you'll see that when the priests put their foot in the waters to cross over into Canaan and to cross over the River Jordan, that the rivers rose up. And the rivers rose up like a heap all the way back to the city of Adam. I told you that what is happening is everything that has been stolen all the way back to Adam is going to now come back to the body of Christ. So now we're seeing here how some of this is going to be done. He is saying, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So let's start in now talking about the Holy Spirit. We want to start in Genesis chapter 1, if you'll go over there with me, please. Genesis chapter 1. Now, the Holy Spirit is working even in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. And if you look here in the beginning, it says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the Spirit of God there is the Holy Spirit, and what he is doing is he's moving out there over the face of the waters. But notice, it doesn't say anything changed. And then it says, and God said, let there be light, and what happened? There was light. So what is the Spirit of God waiting on out there? He's waiting on the Word of God. He doesn't move out of line with the authority that God has set up. The Holy Spirit is the one who manifests the Word. God the Father is the author. God the Word is the carrier. And God the Holy Spirit is the manifester. He is the revealer. He is the one that will reveal the things of the Word of God. Even when you go in the Word of God yourself and you begin to study the Word of God, you say, oh, wow, I didn't see that before. What happened? The Holy Spirit start teaching you. He start revealing you things that you didn't see before. One of the things he's to reveal to the world is he to reveal Jesus, who Jesus really is. So as we go on down here, let's go on down here in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air and the cattle, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created in his own image, the image of God, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So the first man created that God created man with the ability to know him. Now we begin to see that over here in Genesis chapter 2, where God placed man in the garden and God began to talk with man and give man instructions and teach Adam these first things. But now here, the first man in chapter 3 disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, he was cut off from God. He was cut off from the Spirit of God because God cannot dwell in an unclean vessel. So now he was cut off from knowing God. Let's flip all the way over to 1 Thessalonians, please, and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. Thessalonians is where you find all the T's. Titus, Timothy, Thessalonians, all of those guys are grouped together. Chapter 5, please. Let me know when you get there. All right? So here is mankind. Mankind is made in three parts. Look what it says, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole what? Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there he breaks out all three parts that we are. We are tripartite being of spirit, soul, and body. Now, God intended for us to be able to walk with him. We were created to fellowship with God. We are created the very righteousness of God, that we and God could fellowship together anytime, all the time. Now, but when Adam sinned in the garden, it broke the connection between God and mankind. So ever since, now the connection had been broken, no longer could God speak to man. Because God, the Bible says in John 4:24, is a spirit. And the spirit has to talk to our spirit. However, once Adam sinned, our spirit died. In other words, we still had a spirit in there, but that spirit had death lodged in it. And it could not communicate with God anymore. Now, God has to get his man back, and he's going to get him back by a plan called the plan of redemption. Say redemption. Redemption. Okay, redemption has to do with to buy again, or it means the prefix re. Re always means to do again or to go back into the original state. We have recompense, R-E-C-O-M, recompense. We have revival. We have restore. We have repent. We have reconcile. We have renew. All those mean to come back again. Well, when Jesus began and he opened his ministry, he said, repent. And he's going to take mankind back up to the top where mankind was at the beginning. So now here, as mankind sinned, now ever since, all of that which was in Adam now was passed to the generations after Adam. So every man after Adam was born with the same condition that Adam had, or had the same condition that Adam had. Now, the Holy Spirit, God starts working through mankind in time to try to get man back to the place where he was at the beginning. So now here comes the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was prophesied in Joel, and he's also prophesied in Isaiah. Let's talk about Isaiah chapter 28, please. Isaiah chapter 28. Let me know when you get there. All right, now, this is very important that I teach on the Holy Spirit, because when I teach on it, you're going to get to know him. And that's one of the biggest things now, is that people don't know the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that's in you right now and is going to be with you forever. I mean, Jesus is in you by the person of the Holy Spirit. All right, look what it says in Isaiah chapter 28. Now, I'm not going to read all of this only because we don't have much time. Look at verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precepts must be upon precept, and upon precept, line upon line, and line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to his people. Now, this is a prophetic word by Isaiah talking about the Holy Ghost coming into this earth. All right, let's go over to Matthew's gospel, please, and Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Let me know if you're there. Are you there? All right, look what it says in verse 11. John is speaking now. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. So John the Baptist saying, I as a man, I'm going to baptize you in water. But there's one that's anointed that's going to come, and he's going to baptize you what? With the Holy Ghost and, come on, with fire. Now, let's go on down in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, Suffer it so, it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, you're supposed to baptize me. Now, it's already written, so don't be trying to change anything. Just come on and baptize me. Now, I'm paraphrasing. This is Winston translation now. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now, did that indicate that he was sprinkled? Okay, so there is no sprinkling in the Bible. So the word baptize or baptism comes from the Greek baptizo, and it means to dip, as if one is dipping a cloth in water or whatever to dye it, or some dye to dye it. In other words, total immersion so that every part of it gets affected. So, baptism. So he baptized him in water. He went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a what? Dove. And lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my what? Beloved Son. Keep going. Of whom I'm well pleased. Now, somebody said that's that same dove back there that Noah sent out. Praise God. But my point is, all the way through the Old Testament, there is a line of the Holy Spirit all the way through the Old Testament. Believe me now, I don't have time to cover all of that. But I wanted you to see something here. that Jesus had to go through two experiences. One was water baptism. He had to be water baptized. Now, he's doing all this because he's an example for us. And then the next thing, he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because this was the Holy Spirit coming upon him. So he had two experiences. We have two experiences. One is when the Holy Spirit regenerates our spirit from within. No longer are we dead to God, but now we come alive to God. And then after that, the experience of us actually having an upon experience. Now understand, water can't save you in that way. But what water does is there is a power in water baptism that can cause deliverance to people from the things of the world and sever you and I from things that had been chasing us down that are unclean and the world's ways of doing things. Are you following? And it helps to anchor our soul, and of course, it's a testimony to people that are watching. Now, what you do is conversion comes when you believe. Say amen to that. It comes when you believe. But all of this is a process of your having to come fully into the kingdom of God and be able to be used by God to carry forth God's message to the world. Now, I'm saying that, did y'all get that? All right, I don't need to go over that, because water baptism is something you got to teach on by itself, because there's a revelation in water baptism. It is just not getting wet. Say amen to that. All right, so now, what happens? Now the Holy Spirit comes. So John the Baptist said, hey, I'm not the one. He is the one, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, let's go over to John's Gospel, chapter 14, please. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and let me know when you get there, please. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, he says, verse 16, this is Jesus talking, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, what? Comforter, that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he shall dwell with you and shall be where? He shall be in you. Now, let me go back and just, I want to make sure you get a point that I just made here. You have a person that says, I want to be saved. And you baptize the person. Now, if that person doesn't believe on Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that person can go down a sinner and come up one. Did you follow what I just said? That's why I said water can't save you. By itself, it can't do that. You can just get wet. But it comes through believing and acting on the Word of God. You got what I'm saying? That's when deliverance comes. You get people, and I'll show you this in the scriptures. There are people that were glad to be baptized. The Lord have mercy. Okay, I'm going to get there in just a minute. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? In you. So where is the Holy Spirit going to be? In you. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, who is that? The Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in whose name? In my name. He shall teach you, come on, all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. So he's going to be your teacher. Let's keep going. John chapter 16, verse 13. Lord have mercy. I better do verse 7 first. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, who won't come? The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, come on, I'm going to send him to you. So Jesus had to leave so that the next work, the Holy Spirit could start his ministry. Glory to God. In this earth, because his ministry was going to be to convince people of sin and convict people of sin and to deliver people. Glory to God. Look what it said in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Okay, so the Spirit of truth. He's gonna show you things and guide you to the truth. The truth about who you are, the truth about how to get your marriage worked out. Come on, the truth about how to make you some money. The truth about all kinds, he'll show you these things. Plus the fact, he'll show you the truth about who's lying to you. Now, that's going to be a big one in the last days, because in the last days is going to be gross darkness, meaning that there's going to be great deception. So you're going to need the Holy Ghost in the last days more than you need him in the first days. You're going to really need the Holy Ghost in these days. Look at verse 14. And he shall glorify who? Me. Who is me? Jesus. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to who? To what? To glorify Jesus. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you all things that the Father has of mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine and shall reveal it unto you. All right, so let's go all the way over to Luke's gospel now, and Luke chapter 24. Now I'm going to show you something. This is going to be interesting, I'm telling you. Look what it says in Luke chapter 24. If you haven't, say praise the Lord. Last verse, chapter in Luke. It says in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from where? On high. Now notice what he said. I send the promise of my Father upon you. I want you to see these words he's using. But tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from where? On high. Tarry. All right, let's go over to Acts chapter 1, please. Tarry. Now, I'm probably going to give you some interesting teaching here, and it's going to probably tear down some of that old strange doctrine that some of you have. Have you got it? Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Underline wait. Because that's what tarry means. Wait. For the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. What is the promise that he's talking about? The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with what? Water. But you shall be baptized with who? The Holy Ghost. Come on. Not many days hence. Now the Holy Ghost is not an it. The Holy Ghost is a he, not a she. The Holy Ghost is a he. You got what I'm saying? All right. Praise God. Now, glory to God. Verse 6, when they therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore, underline restore, again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. What kind of power is that? That's Holy Ghost, miracle working power. You're just working on the level of God. You shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come where? Upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So now he is telling them that tarry. So tarry doesn't mean that you're waiting for the Holy Ghost. That's not what they're tarrying for. What they're really tarrying for is the day of Pentecost. It just so happened that the Holy Ghost was going to come on that day. So they were waiting for, in this time of celebration of the Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. And they were waiting for that. Now they're tarrying, waiting for this move of God. But I'm saying that they were also waiting in this place for the day of Pentecost. They were in Jerusalem waiting, but the Holy Spirit was going to come on that day. Y'all with me? Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's what they're waiting for, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a what? Sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and half of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm sorry. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, see, when I start teaching on this, you got to watch it, because this is what you need to know. This is how I'm doing this. I got a relationship. And so what he said there is that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now, what was the Holy Ghost going to do? He was going to empower them to be a witness for Christ. He was enduing them with power so that they could go out into a world that was against them, and they had power to resist sin, power to receive insight as to how something is trying to deceive them. They received power to be able to pray for people they didn't even know their names. They could receive power for miracles to be worked through their hands. All of this is why you need the Holy Ghost. If I'm going to preach to you like tonight, I'm going to speak a while in the Holy Ghost before I preach. Why? Because if I pray in the Spirit, I can edify myself. Now, what does edification have to do with? It has to do with building me up in the Holy Ghost so that I'll be more sensitive to God's voice than to your voice. And so what you want is you want that so that the enemy can't speak to you, and you can build yourself up so you can't even hear that, but you can just minister by the Spirit of God coming right through you. Now, I'm saying this is key for you also. Every morning you need to pray a little in the Holy Ghost, because you might get to the job and God might want you to go over there to that sister, say this to that brother, and you can hear God's voice. Because if you hear God's voice clearly, you can do it with precision. Now, can I show you something here? All right, so they came and spoke with other tongues. Now, in this particular case, look at verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noise abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in what? Their own language. So here's the Holy Ghost, and he is first enabling them to speak in a language that they never went to school to learn. So that was a sign and a wonder. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites. Now, what were they speaking? Look at verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues what? the wonderful works of God. Folks, they had not gone to school to learn. Now, hold your hand right there and turn to John chapter 7 with your smart self. Turn to John chapter 7. See, you think you know everything. Look at John chapter 7. Let me know when you get there. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man what? Letters, having never learned. Somebody give me a translation of that. How does he know this and he never went to school for it? Got it? Where is he going? He's going all the way back to Adam. Adam didn't have no university. How did he know to name them animals and he never went to the University of Chicago? I will restore unto you all the way back to Adam. Are y'all following what I'm saying here? Lord have mercy. Coming back over to Acts chapter 2, please. Amen. Let me know when you get to John chapter 2, verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it was but the third hour of the day. What's the third hour? What time is the third hour? 9 o'clock a.m. But this is what? That. Say this is that. Which was spoken by the prophet who? Joel, saying that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. See, the Holy Ghost came on the prophet, priest, and king to do certain things. That was the main people. It did come on other people for other little tasks, but mainly prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament. So that was the limit of the Holy Ghost, but not in the New Testament, because in the New Testament, he's going to pour out his spirit on everybody. You see, everybody that's come into the church is going to be empowered to do God's will. Everybody's going to be empowered to do miracles. You don't need to bring somebody in here for the pastor to pray for. You can lay hands on the sick right where you are in the name of Jesus, and the same Holy Ghost I got, you got too. Say amen to that. Now, because this has not been taught, 95% of the church has never shared Jesus with anybody. And that is why you see so much cult and see so much Taliban. If you and I get the Holy Ghost and get him in us right, you get Jesus right in you and you can't shut your mouth. You know and I know you get saved and really get saved. Folks can't do nothing with you. I mean, it's almost like they want to get you out of that house because you talking about Jesus too much. And that's why I don't like to beg people to get baptized or beg people to get filled with the Holy Ghost, because maybe you just ain't ready. What you got to do is say, hey, I want it. What is it? I want it. Give it here. See, God wants folks that are hot or cold. He said, lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth, because you can't do nothing with a lukewarm Christian. They just want to hear another sermon and come in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, sister. And so forget on out of here. Give me somebody that's been living out there like a dog and come in and get saved. And they're on fire for Jesus. All right, let me just finish this. This is that. Glory to God. Folks, that'll convert your family. You come home full of the Holy Ghost, full of Jesus. It'll come out all over everybody. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Now, Peter preached a powerful sermon. And look what it says in verse 38. Then Peter said to them, and he preached here, and he said, repent. And no, verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now, who's doing the pricking here? The Holy Ghost. He'll convict the world of sin. They're pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do you want us to do? And then Peter said to them, repent. Repent and be baptized. How many of you? Every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The sending away of your sins. And you shall do what? Receive the gift. Come on. Of the Holy Ghost. Not once was that left out. Some people have gotten water baptized and then didn't get the Holy Ghost. They said, well, my denomination doesn't teach that. I'm telling you, you better line yourself up with this, because you're going to be held accountable for what God, especially if you just heard me talk, teach it. You're going to be held accountable for what God wants you to have. Say amen to this. You need the Holy Ghost. Don't be trying to hide from the Holy Ghost and think people don't know you don't have the Holy Ghost, so you're not going to say nothing and they're not going to say nothing. What you need to do is after this service, you come up here and you get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't you leave this place without the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to somebody right now, and on that television set, don't you leave here without the Holy Ghost. If you don't get the Holy Ghost in your church, go to somebody that gets you the Holy Ghost so that you can be a witness for Jesus, so that you can demonstrate the kingdom of God. People are waiting on your witness. All right, look what it says here. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then, watch this, they that what? Gladly received the word, come on, were baptized. Baptized how? What substance were they baptized in? Water. This is water baptism. And the same day there were added unto them about how many souls? About 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls. Now, when you see the miracles of God, now you're seeing the big increase. And what has happened, instead of working signs, we've been running the signs. All right, now I want to just show you something, because I've got to save time. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Acts chapter 8. I'm almost out of time. You just stay here till I get done. Amen. You know what I'd do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved. You know what I'd do if I didn't have the Holy Ghost? I'd get the Holy Ghost. Need the Holy Ghost. Well, I was told I had the Holy Ghost and I didn't need to speak another tongue. Well, every place they had the Holy Ghost in here, they spoke another tongue. Why are you going to try to change the Bible? Why are you going to try to deviate from what God has placed in his word? Say amen to that. See, don't let nobody deceive you. When you get the Holy Ghost, not only does it flood your spirit, it floods your mind. You need your mind flooded with anointing of God. Say amen to that. Now, this is when a man named Philip went to preach. But let's see what Philip started at. Look at Acts chapter 6, please, if you'll flip right back to Acts chapter 6. Philip. Philip, Acts chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. All right, look what it said in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the what? Holy Ghost. And who else? Philip, okay, of Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and what? Power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, Stephen, his last job was waiting tables. Now, God is sending them out as evangelists, all right? But also a person in there that had hands laid on him, was full of the Holy Ghost, was Philip. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 8 and see what Philip did. Verse 3, as for Saul, whose name became Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering to every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Now, you may not see this, but if you meditate this, you will see that Saul was a terrorist. Brothers and sisters, he was full of rage. And look what it said in verse 4. Therefore, they that scattered abroad went everywhere and went preaching the word. Then Philip went down in the city of Samaria and preached what to them? Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and doing what? Seeing the miracles which he did. And unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many of them that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, the cripple, and were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And there was a certain man named called Simon, which before time in the same city had used what? Sorcery, and done what to the people? Bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. Now this is deception working, see? To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Did he have the great power of God? Nope. He was working sorcery. And in the last days, sorcery is going to be out here. But if you got the Holy Ghost, you got the detector. The detector can detect what's counterfeit and what's real. Even when that man that you just met want to take you out, the detector, pull out the detector. It's like, let me check. Let me see if you got any radioactivity on you. All right. Now look at verse 11. I'm saying, see, when folks are possessed, you got to watch that thing, because they really feel what they're doing is right, see? But if they're possessed, then the devil can make them change from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde when he gets ready. They don't have any personality. The only personality they have is what he gives them at that time. A possessed person is a dangerous person. When I say dangerous, I mean you can't detect it because they're so confident about what they say.
Yes, sir.
They'll come to you and say, yeah, I did this. Sure, I did that. I mean, they sound so convincing, but possessed. So you need the detector. You need to pull out the Holy Ghost. Say, hey, Holy Ghost, tell me what's up with that right there.
Yeah.
He said, that's a counterfeit right there. And it won't bear witness with your spirit. You say, wait a minute, brother. Wait a minute, sister. Hallelujah. Look what it says here in verse 12. And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of who? Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Baptized in what? Water. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which he did. So the miracles of God overshadowed the miracles of the devil. Now, the devil has counterfeit miracles. You remember when Moses went down to Egypt, down to Pharaoh, and God told him, said, now, when Pharaoh asks you for a miracle, he's going to ask you. See, those sorcerers were working miracles, and you can do some things in that soul realm. But that's why you got to watch people. Some people minister out of their soul. When I say that, I mean they be laying hands on trying to make that soul power come out. You don't need to do all of that. Just lay hands on them. Praise God in the name of Jesus. And let the Holy Ghost do the work. Say amen to this. I'm preaching now, Ben, you saying amen. Look at verse 13. And Simon himself believed, so forth. Verse 14. And when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might what? Receive the Holy Ghost. For he was not yet fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and then they tarried and waited and waited, and pretty soon they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Somebody said, well, they didn't say there he spoke in tongue. Well, what do you think Simon did? He saw that through laying on the apostles' hand, the Holy Ghost was given. He saw something. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. All right, let's look at the last place. Let's look over here in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Then the angel of the Lord spake to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man from where? Of where? Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship. Now watch this man. He was a man of great authority. He was the CFO, or the Secretary of Treasury, of the kingdom in Ethiopia under Candace. He was a man of great rank. But he came to Jerusalem trying to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, what told Philip to do that? The Holy Ghost. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read from Isaiah and said, understandest thou what you're reading? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before the shearer to open, and he also so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me? Come on. To be baptized. And Philip said, if thou believe with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, come on, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And what did he do with it? Acts chapter 19, real quick. I'm closing. Acts chapter 19, Lord have mercy. Verse 1, and it came to pass while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. He found certain disciples. He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now that's my question to some people listening to me. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, then what then were you baptized? And they said, well, we were baptized unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were what? They had been baptized once. But this time they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, what happened to them? The Holy Ghost came on them, and what did they do? They spake with tongues and they prophesied. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying Joel promised you that God was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. When you're talking about the Holy Ghost, you're talking about receiving something that God has already given. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying in a language that your mind doesn't even aware, or not even, doesn't even know what you're saying, because you're praying by the power of God. And also, tongues has not faded away. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this. If you remember there what he said, they that gladly received it were baptized. You see, God won't force you to be saved, because he wants you to always come to him because of your free will. And there may be somebody in here tonight that you need to be saved, and you're not saved yet. Now, you've been around church, but by me speaking about the Holy Ghost, you know you need to be saved. But what we want to do in this place is get you saved. For one of the greatest miracles in the world is to be born again. If you're here tonight and you know that you need to be saved, I'm not asking you to join the church. You can make that decision later. I'm asking you right now to be saved.